What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are in our series on the attributes of God and our emotions. Today, I'm pretty excited to discuss the concept of loneliness. And it is an emotional reality. It's a feeling, and as subjective as that can be, remember we started this series by saying, look, we don't want to be overly Aristotle-ish and saying, and what is a feeling, dear? And are they real? The reality is that we just kind of have to have a common sense, like down-home approach to, yeah, you can be lonely, and it's a sensation, it's a feeling, it's an isolated, if you've ever experienced loneliness, and I would imagine that most of you have, then you know, like, I don't know if that's a feeling, or if that's a desire, or if that's a sensation, but it's a reality nevertheless. And so today, let's consider, how do the attributes of God connect to your loneliness? The loneliness that we're talking about, I actually found a really helpful definition from the CDC, and I know we all have our questions about the CDC and why are they talking about health issues. The Surgeon General actually talks about loneliness as well. I'll bring up his comments here in a second. But loneliness, according to the CDC, is a feeling of alone or disconnected from others. So it's feeling alone or disconnected from others. It is feeling like you do not have meaningful or close relationships, or a sense of belonging. It reflects the difference between a person's actual and desired level of connection. Actual and desired, you know, they don't define, you know, you have one friend so you're lonely, or you have three friends so you're lonely. They're just saying it's that feeling of being disconnected or feeling of being alone. There is going to be a semantic difference between aloneness, being by yourself, and being lonely. And we are talking right now about this concept of being lonely, meaning that I have this sensation of being isolated and disconnected, and that's not good. So could we say, is there godly loneliness? Well, there's godly aloneness, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to say, yes, the sensation of being disconnected and isolated is something that is God-glorifying, and it's a desire that you should cultivate. Rather, what you would say is that impulse for relationship is God glorifying, or the impulse to be with people is God glorifying, but the sensation of loneliness in and of itself isn't necessarily something that we're trying to cultivate. So this is the reality that we've all experienced it. And the most lonely I've ever been, and I don't say this so that you guys will write in and say, yay, Dr. G, it's going to be okay. But I can distinctly remember when I joined the Army, that was the loneliest I've ever been. Okay, you have obvious things for the reason why. You're in a new community. You have new friend groups. You're in a new place. When I was deployed to South Korea, I was stationed on the North Korea-South Korea DMZ, the 38th parallel. There's a small military base there called Camp Boniface. And when I was stationed there, it was basically 60 Americans and then 600 Republic of Korea soldiers or ROK soldiers. I was basically by myself. And as the new guy, no one is eager to help you. And especially as a new officer, no one is eager to hook you up, including the older officers. Most of my free time would go towards what I thought were profitable things, or at least trying not to fritter away a lot of my time. So on the weekends, instead of going to the bar scene with the guys that were going to the bar scene, I would often go exercise, go ride my road bike. I would work on classes. I would go to the gym, and I would just put in more hours for my job, try to learn and get ahead, work on credentials, things like that. But I'll be honest, like, yes, I was achieving a lot at the time, but I was super lonely. No real believer that took their faith seriously. And other believers, for sure, there were other guys there that would raise their arm. And it was an infantry unit, so it was only guys. Other guys that would say, yeah, I am a believer, I'm a Christian, but yet no one was actively seeking that. I made a couple of friends while I was there, two staff sergeants, and we started a Bible study together. And over time, I just tried to help lead that Bible study and teach through the Word. But seriously, like, I was super lonely. New country, new place, new job, no meaningful fellowship. I don't know what you call that feeling of aloneness, but it wasn't pleasant. We are supposedly, according to the AARP, we are lonelier now than we've ever been as a people group. 40% of all U.S. adults now report being lonely, which is up from 35%. This is AARP, and according to AARP, who's the loneliest? You could probably guess this, but men are the loneliest out of men and women. Men are the loneliest. The youngest are the loneliest out of all generations. Cigna did a study in 2025, Cigna spelled with a C, C-I-G-N-A. They did a study in 2025, and they said 67% of Gen Z identifies as being lonely. Now, you can't empirically measure loneliness. You ask a person and say, are you lonely? And they say yes or no. So it's not like taking a lab or a blood test. But they perceive themselves as being disconnected or isolated from others. In 2023, I mentioned the Surgeon General earlier. He declared a epidemic of loneliness. Seriously, you could go Google the Surgeon General's, I think it's called like his supervisory report. And what he does is he talks about how loneliness and isolation were the effect of COVID and that there can be a healing effect of social connection and community. That's the U.S. Surgeon General, not a believer, not a biblical counselor, not making a case for a biblical worldview. So however you think about it, loneliness is on the increase. And I've made an argument for how our devices are facilitating that as well. In fact, one of the things that you'll notice, and I've mentioned this in passing, but you'll notice that technology currently is structured to actually individualize and to appeal to individuals. So you have your personal devices, your phone, your iPads, and so forth. So what's happening is we are in the earbud generation where we listen, we curate, we watch our own personal entertainment. And consequently, what's happening is technology is isolating us, maybe even unintentionally to ourselves. So we have this tension then of technology pulling at us, our own sin nature. We have conflict that's unresolved. We have a lack of meaningful fellowship and mature believers where we're located. And the byproduct is that we're lonely. As I was researching and preparing for today's episode, the clearest place, and I know this is quite the statement to make, the clearest place in all of Scripture where the concept of loneliness is used is in Psalm 25. So if you have your Bible, let's open up and go to Psalm 25. I am going to draw a semantic range and a difference between loneliness and aloneness. So loneliness as a sensation of isolation, a disconnection from others. Psalm 25, I think we're going to see it the clearest. This is a psalm of David. David says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Look at verse 16, or if you're driving, listen to verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Boom, there it is, lonely. Is that the same use that the CDC is defining it as? It seems to be pretty close because it simply means lonely or deserted. I'm all by myself. I'm isolated. So David says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Here is the reality. David uses that term of loneliness and isolation and desertion to speak about his experience. And it seems like there are those who are seeking his life. And so now he is saying, Lord, please protect me. Would you consider my integrity? Look at how many foes I have. Verse 19, guard my soul and deliver me, for in you I take refuge. Lonely, deserted. Okay, one more. If you're writing or you're thinking with me, let's go to Psalm 68, verse 7. And let me see if I can squeak this one in before we take a break here. Psalm 68, verse 7 says this. Oh God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai. Sorry, I am reading. Here we go. If I can find my right verse. It's verse 6. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. That term solitary that's used in Psalm 68, verse 7 is the same term for lonely that's used in Psalm 25, verse 16. Same concept. Lonely, deserted, or here translated as solitary. You have no protection. You're all by yourself. Those would be the clearest biblical examples of loneliness. So we squeaked it in right before the break. Let's take a short break. Jimmy, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and we'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment, who is talking today about loneliness, that epidemic that is currently hitting young men the hardest. And so if I can I talk to young men for just a moment? The young man that Dr. Gifford is describing, the Gen Z young man who maybe is more connected to a screen than to a soul, and he's lonelier than any generation before him. If that's you, maybe you're in a crucial point in your life right now where you're thinking about what's next. You're deciding what's going to happen after high school. Listen, where you go after high school is going to do more to fix or deepen what you're experiencing right now than almost anything else you decide. See, a giant state school is going to give you 20,000 strangers and an empty feeling. But the Master's University, they're going to hand you a body of believers who take Christ as seriously as you want to. Dr. Gifford is a professor there. So is Dr. Adam Tyson, who does a podcast specifically for Gen Z young men right here on Fortis Institute. The whole place is built around real fellowship and around real brothers who are not going to let you drift alone. That's not a small thing when loneliness is the very thing that is eating at your generation. So if you want to get the conversation started right now and seriously start considering what the Master's University can do in your life, just visit masters.edu/transformed and take a very hard look at it before you sign up anywhere. It's going to wind up leaving you isolated and in a crowd. Now, whoever you are, wherever you're listening right now, the thing that we all have in our pocket, or at least sitting within arm's reach, our phone, doesn't have to be part of the isolation thing that Greg is describing. It doesn't. Fortis Plus is an app that you can download right now on your smartphone, and it can take you from mindless scrolling to scrolling that's intentional and full of teaching that draws you toward God and His people instead of deeper into yourself, because that's what pretty much everything else on your phone is doing. The entire library for Transformed is right there on Fortis Plus, along with all of the other content that we're creating every single day here at Fortis Institute. You can see exactly what I'm talking about for free, because the content and the app both are free. You can download it right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. Let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed.
Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you for your help, sir. Thank you for your resources and support. Guys, if you're not in the market for a degree, then I know that our advertisements for masters may not be the most applicable. But if you're thinking about a master's degree, a doctorate, an undergraduate degree, I would love to have you in class. I would love to have you audit and sit in class. nonetheless come out and actually earn a degree or do that online. So always feel free to email me, greg@transform.org, if you're looking for more information about the school. And of course, as I've said on past episodes, if you haven't subscribed yet, would you please do so? If you're on Apple, you could leave us a review, or Spotify, you can just do that tap star rating thing. Thank you for doing that. So now, here's where we're at. Semantically create a category in your mind where there is a sensation or a feeling of isolation, and call that solitary, say deserted, or call that lonely. That semantic range is appropriate. And is that you have one friend or no friends or three friends and you're lonely? The Bible doesn't clarify, and I think each person has their own set of giftedness. But what we don't want to communicate is that being by yourself is the same thing as being lonely. In fact, as I was researching today, people cited Genesis 2:18 that man was by himself and that it was not good. And it is different to say that man being alone is not good and that man was lonely. Or think of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. As he runs and he's exhausted and he's trying to get away from Jezebel, it is not necessarily that he's lonely, but that he was all alone. So I don't want to put words in Moses's mouth or Adam's mouth and say, look, Adam was terribly lonely before Eve came along. That's pre-fall. That's pre-Genesis 3. Like that may be a hard thing to say, especially if he's in perfect fellowship with the Lord. But can we say that he was all alone? Yes. And is being all alone the same thing as lonely? No. In fact, some of us actually enjoy a reprieve every now and then to be by ourselves. We're with people all the time. So we enjoy a two-day stint, a weekend where we get away and just have some free time to tinker, read, rest, work out, whatever it is that you enjoy doing. So make sure you create that category of lonely versus alone. So how do we address loneliness versus aloneness? I want to introduce an idea that comes from Psalm 73, and this is the Psalm of Asaph, where I've mentioned him a couple of times. I mentioned him last episode, where Asaph talks about thinking brutishly. He was not seeing things accurately. What he says in Psalm 73, verse 25 is, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Let's drill down on that idea of God being your portion just for a second. It's a foreign concept to say that God is our portion. It doesn't always compute. It's not always an easy thing to consider. God is my portion. It's also a way of saying God is my inheritance. Exodus 32, the Levites are told that they will receive God as their inheritance, and that would be their reward for basically enacting capital punishment on the worshipers of the golden calf. And that happened in Exodus 32. Let me get you an exact verse here. That is in Exodus 32, verse. I'm going to have to get you a verse. I hate when people say, oh, here it is. Exodus 32, verse 29. "You have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one of you at the cost, so that God might bestow a blessing upon you." So God promises to be the actual inheritance of the Levites, and that they would not receive land, but they would receive God. That's Numbers 13. And that's the fulfillment of what we're seeing as an Abrahamic promise. Part of the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 15 is that God would be Abraham's great reward in verse 1. The reward, the inheritance. Think of God as what the believer gets. You get to know God. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 25. You don't boast in your might. You don't boast in your wisdom. You boast in understanding and knowing God. To have God as your portion, as Asaph says, is the remedy for loneliness. Remember that people will always leave you longing for more. God is the only one who can bring satisfaction to weary souls. In Isaiah 55, 1 through 5, "Whoever's weary, whoever's thirsty, go to the Lord and drink. drink that water that Jesus speaks of in John 4 that will satisfy, to which the woman at the well says, show me this water so I don't have to come back here anymore. The only satisfaction that you can have is not by filling yourself with people. And community in our church is super important. But the only satisfaction that you can actually have is being filled with the Lord. He is your portion, or he is your inheritance, or he is your reward, Genesis 15:1, Psalm 73:26. So first attribute, first consideration about God, knowing him, knowing that he is yours, is the remedy for loneliness. Second attribute, and this goes directly to Psalm 23. You may have noticed it whenever I read Psalm 23 a second ago, that David actually mentions an attribute of God as he speaks to God about his aloneness or his loneliness. Turn to me and be gracious, Psalm 25, verse 16. The grace of God, his unmerited favor toward you, that God treats you with kindness even though you do not deserve it. That God does not deal with you according to your sins is his mercy, but that God shows you favor when you deserve wrath is his grace. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. It's unprovoked. I can't earn the grace of God. God is gracious, and it overflows in gracious acts toward me. God's grace is mentioned directly in the context of loneliness here. Be gracious to me, for I'm lonely. I'm isolated and deserted and afflicted. In your times of loneliness, I encourage you to seek out the grace of God. He is kind towards you. He demonstrates favor towards you as his child. If you're truly his child, it's the work of Christ that has allowed you to experience the favor of God. So accept that favor and pursue it. Revel in the grace of God and in his character. He's gracious. He's abounding in love, slow to anger toward you. Revel in the fact that God is the gracious God, and he delights in showing grace to his kids. What comforts you as a lonely, wearied person is the grace of God. So first of all, God is your portion. He's your inheritance. He himself is your reward. Second, God is gracious to you. Third is his steadfast love, which comes directly from chapter 25 of Psalm. Psalm 25, verse 6 says this, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. Verse 7 says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. His steadfast love is the ESV's way of saying his loyal love, his covenant love. His loyal love, as we've talked through different wayward emotions that we experience, it's shame, it's guilt, it's hurt, but that God has chosen to bestow his love upon you to glorify himself, to do good in your life, to reconcile you to him so that you can glorify him, and that is your greatest good. Romans 8:38, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. If God is all-powerful, then when he says, I love you, there's nothing that can stop that. There's nothing that can prevent his love reaching you. And that includes you. You can't stop God's love from reaching you. And that includes your circumstances, and that includes loneliness. In my loneliest times, I must draw near to the love of God. God loves me. God, he is kind towards me. I experience undeserved favor from the Lord because he is loving. I turn to his grace. I turn to his sacrificial covenant, chesed love towards me, and I see him as my portion and my inheritance. Do you want to balance yourself in times of loneliness? Well, first of all, like, we're not saying, hey, forget you, world. We're moving to the woods. We're going to live by ourselves. Ow! We're not, no, you're called to be in church and in community and have the one another's. Like, you're not rejecting people, but you will be a more stable friend when you are satisfied in God. And you will be a more stable boyfriend and girlfriend when you're satisfied in God. I don't need people to make me okay. The Lord makes me okay, but I enjoy people and the Lord has given me godly community. So your loneliness starts with being filled in the Lord and then moving into Christian fellowship in your local church. That will be the next step. So we got to be done for today. I hope that you guys are writing emails and that these are creating questions for you. I'd love to hear from you. Greg@transform.org if you have clarifying questions or just practical how-tos. Let me pray for us and we'll be done. Lord, you are our portion. You are our prize. Paul speaks of knowing Jesus as a surpassing value. Jeremiah says that we are to boast in knowing you. Help that to be true for me and for the believers listening to this podcast. Lord, we delight in your character, and may that fill us, that in the lonely seasons of work and life and caregiving and retirement and parenting, that we would find our solace not in people ultimately, but in you and your character. Give us grace for that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.